Hi, I'm Chaim Goldman, the Watchman, and this is bonus interview with Mary Louise Fidler. We just finished up her interview here talking about the history of Colorado Springs and specifically Colorado Springs Historic Walking Tours, which is her business and her passion. But as she mentioned during the interview, she and her husband spent like their whole professional career dealing with people in drug addiction and recovery. And of course, homelessness is tied into that. So I asked her, what would you like to talk about that we didn't get to on the radio? And she talked about safety and the safety of our community, children, homeless people, and that whole issue. Mary Louise ran for school board in the Cheyenne Mountain area. Didn't make it in, but the passion to run and make a difference is in her. So Mary Louise, for you know, give us a quick bio on you that's relevant to this about you and Rick's background in recovery.
Well, so my husband and I met, got married, and that same year we opened our very first sober living home. And we were originally from California. Don't be mad, I'm from California. Can't help but love Colorado Springs. We had to come. When we were finished with that particular season and we ended up coming here to Colorado, we absolutely spent some time reflecting on, you can't spend 18 years doing, being engaged and deep in the trenches of drug and alcohol recovery without realizing, wow, that took its toll. That was intense. That was beautiful all at the same time. And, the first thing I want to say is, the people that would come in, a lot of times they were rough and beat up, spent a lot of time beating themselves up, kind of wearing themselves out through this drug and alcohol addiction. Many of them were out on the streets. They had been homeless. And when they come in to the facility, they were in need, right? They were rough around the edges, and they were dysfunctional. They were dysfunctional. That would be the word I would say. And when they would come in, we did our best to make a beautiful environment and make sure there was food and safety and shelter and a listening ear and everything that they would need to become well. And what I would say is, when the people would come in and they'd be challenged, right? They wouldn't know how to communicate. They'd be angry. They'd be run the gamut of the emotional upheavals that they would bring in with them. Our job was to maintain a healthy environment and give them the tools that they needed to become healthy themselves. So, for example, if somebody came in and they were upset about, I don't know, the food and the way the layout of the house was, or the facility, the rules of the facility. Well, we didn't change the rules of the facility. We didn't go get them their special meals. We didn't make all of the adjustments that they wanted, because they were coming in to a healthy environment. So their job was to rise up to a healthier position, to a healthier way of thinking, to a healthier way of functioning. So here's where that ties in to our community here in Colorado Springs. So much I love about Colorado Springs, what I don't love is when I drive down the street and I see homeless people camped out next to a creek. When I see men and women on a corner, out of their minds, rambling and waving their arms around. When there are people sleeping with a shopping cart on a park bench. I don't love that. I don't love that. Not only is it not good for the community, it's not good for that individual. And I know people want to help. People are waiting to help. They're ready to help. But what I see is a codependency of the community. And I see a lowering, a lowering of the bar to accommodate people who are dysfunctional and need to rise up, to get well, to come off their addiction. And not everybody's going to do that. But as you live a dysfunctional life, there are consequences for a dysfunctional life. And there are many services out there that can help to realign things and create a functional life. You have to want it, of course. But if you coddle, if you kind of bend like, oh, okay, just let's just take the riverbed. If you let people camp out on the riverbed instead of staying at a homeless shelter, guess what? They are going to camp out on a riverbed instead of going to the homeless shelter. And there are beds available at the homeless shelter. They're out there. So whatever dynamics are going on that kind of lead to this dysfunction of the city, something has to happen.
Well, what is it that we can do as citizens? Because we leave this generally up to the police or to the politicians, but what can we do? Because we're even told it's not necessarily okay to go and help, you know, a homeless person individually, that it can be enabling and things like that. What's your position about what we can do as citizens other than putting the pressure on our political class here?
Okay, well, definitely put the pressure on the political class. That would be number one. But number two, there are so many services out there and agencies out there. If you are going to donate, I would encourage you to and churches. I mean, that's number one.
Donate time and money.
Absolutely. To churches, to those people who are going to have the resources to give to the individuals who are out on the streets. Panhandling, I don't think is a good, it reinforces when you give money to people on the streets, it reinforces. And odds are they're going to take that money and do things to themselves that is not healthy. So, I mean, if you want to buy somebody a burger or something, if you feel led to do that, but I think more of that, the more that happens, the more it's reinforced to go stand on a street corner.
So better for us to plug into programs, to organizations that really know what they're doing and are organized and help them as opposed to doing it individually.
I would say so.
Overall, and, again, unless God leads you.
Unless God leads you. And that's key right there, because I'm a Christian, and go ahead and try and build a house. Good luck if you don't have the Lord with you. You know what I mean? So if you're feeling led, if God is advising you to do a particular thing, if there's anybody listening that it's in your heart to make a move and do something significant in this area, trust me, he will do some amazing things.
Okay, so what can we do to make this city a safer place for its citizens, as well as those who are having these struggles with homelessness and drug addiction? What can we do to make a better city?
I would say attend city council meetings. I would say write letters to the mayor. I would say encourage anybody who's in a position of power, legislators, anybody who's in those type of positions, because it kind of starts if we have laws in place and legislation in place that is going to lead to codependency and lead to encouraging drug use and drug addiction, disaster. That is disaster one. When you give somebody a needle, you think you're helping them not share
hepatitis.
You're leading them down to the path of destruction, and there's no other outcome. It's the path. Drugs are the path of destruction. There's no two ways about it. And so that would be number one. Legislators, get involved with your church. Are there outreaches that are going to not just if there's an organized outreach where people are going to come and you can share the gospel with those individuals? Then I would incorporate with them. I would connect with them. I would educate our kids. You know, remember those red ribbon programs that they used to have where they teach the elementary kids not to do drugs and not to do alcohol? Guess where it stops? High school. That's where you need to. Those are the kids that can get the drugs and the alcohol, right? They have their cars and they can access those things, and that's where it stops, which we need to continue it at that age.
Okay. So in our final minute, talk about the need for accountability. We're in such a permissive society where you've decided that it's better to just let people live, but you've dealt with this. How important your mom, you've worked in this. Talk about accountability to encourage those out there who are dealing with themselves without accountability or others that need it, to encourage them to say, yes, that tough love, is important and it does work.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to do the tough love, but I've seen it happen. I've seen it work. I've seen the process go. You go through the process and you like, oh God, you pray and say, Lord, help me be strong so that my child, so that my loved one doesn't end up in a pit, in an alley somewhere doing drugs. So start 100% when they're young. And then this whole thing, like you were saying earlier, how you can't, certain things are off the table. No. Nothing's off the table. Everything's on the table. And when you encounter somebody, be led by the Holy Spirit. Does God want you to share a stern warning, or does he want you to share in love and compassion? Because that's one of the things. Everybody that walked in the door at the facility, I didn't treat them exactly the same way, because there were some that were tenderhearted and injured, and there are others that were stubborn and stiff-necked. And so you follow that leading, and wherever you can share the truth and remind them, God has better things for you. There's more. Say yes to Jesus. Say yes to the scriptures. Walk in his ways. Watch what happens.
Amen. Mary Louise Fidler, thank you so much for being with us on The Peak today. And Colorado Springs Historic Walking Tours is the website to get to meet Mary Louise and walk around the city with her. Thanks so much for being on.
Thank you.